Well, those are more expensive. I couldn't afford those ones. I can only get the single packs.
Got a high roller over here.
A couple noodles. Those were like 36 cents. I never had enough for those.
Sun's always shining on a baller. Jesus.
The Gun Dude Show, brought to you by NationFirst.us, sponsored by The Gun Dude. If you love guns and coffee, this show's for you.
Push that intro fast.
Welcome to the Gun Dudes Radio Show on NationFirst.us, sponsored by the Gun Dude. Check us out and listen to the show on NationFirst.us and on Twitter. Follow NationFirst on @GI_Nation. You can also keep a close eye on everything Gun Dude @the_gun_dude. Online, check us out at thegundude.com. I'm Jeremiah, I'm president of the Gun Dude, the man. I'm here with Josh.
Hi, I'm Josh. I'm the founder and CEO. I'm very excited about this.
And I'm also here with the lovely Jenna.
What's going on, peeps? You know, chilling here with the dudes. I look forward to it. Making sure they don't hurt each other.
Burn the place down.
In and outside of work.
It is a problem. It is a real threat, folks. Today on the Gun Dude Radio Show, we're going to be talking about ARs and suppressors. All right. What is an AR to you? What is your definition of it? We're going to hopefully take away some of those stigmas today.
AR, assault rifle.
No, actually, interesting fact on what AR stands for. The AR-15 was originally built for Armalite, and it's the Armalite rifle.
Oh,
that's where the AR came from.
Or the automatic rifle.
Armalite is a manufacturing company, and they took it and made a civilianized version of the M16, I think, or the M4, whichever model you want to talk about. But they turned it into the Armalite rifle, which is the AR-15. Interestingly enough,
new every day.
I didn't know it until a customer actually came in and told me. I was like, "Yeah, AR stands for assault rifle." He's like, "No." I don't know. I just learned something new. So, you know, black guns are pretty scary, right? I mean, they look pretty tactical.
Oh, they are. I mean, that's the stigma I hope to, maybe not calm, but send somebody away with a little bit better feeling about that. Jenna, now, you're probably the newest in the firearms industry amongst us all, am I correct? I mean, as a retail.
Yeah, in the retail aspect of it, and then like handguns and you know, the Armalite rifles.
Okay. I just got a dirty look.
So when you first got here, before you even in the Gun Dude, what did you think of when you heard the term AR-15? What's the first thing that you thought would come to mind?
Honestly, I've never heard it prior to coming down here, because it's always just been rifles for me, for tools, you know, for sporting and hunting purposes. But I mean, we're from a small town, so everybody was just more into, you know, long rifles for hunting and shotguns for skeet shooting and, you know, shooting birds and all that fun stuff. But I guess if you were to ask me a year ago, you know, what I thought for an AR, I would have thought, you know, really tactical, military style, you know, more of a male dominant, you know, used firearm, you know, more military, and for when crap hits the fan, that's what rolls out.
And that is very common, that people think that when they hear the term assault weapon or assault rifle. But the reality of it is that all firearms function the same way, essentially. A trigger, a button, or a lever is engaged to drop a hammer or drop a firing pin that hits the back of a bullet, the primer or the rim, and ejects a cartridge or ejects a bullet down the barrel. And that's all they do, whether it be your hunting rifle, whether it be a handgun or an assault rifle. I might use for an example, the Mossberg 715T is a .22 rifle. I believe the 715T they're all semi-automatic. But one of them comes with your classic look of a wooden stock, with a barrel on top, and it looks like a hunting rifle. And they also do the same model that looks like your classic assault rifle, meaning like the M16 version. And all it is a covering on the firearm.
It's a plastic cover.
Plastic.
It's a Nerf gun, basically.
Pretty much is what it is. But the inside of the gun works the same way. The inner workings are designed the same exact way on both rifles. So I'm reading right now that the word assault weapon and the word assault rifle are oftentimes confused. And it says that by Bruce H. Kobayashi and Joseph E. Olson, writing in the Stanford Law and Policy Review, prior to 1989, the term assault weapon did not exist in the lexicon of firearms. It is a political term developed by anti-gun publicists to expand the category of assault rifles.
What's interesting is actually now assault weapon is a legal term. Mm-hmm. So like Virginia, the state of Virginia, has a legal definition of what an assault weapon is. And that includes any centerfire rifle I don't think it includes pistols, that it has a magazine capacity greater than 20 rounds,
mm-hmm.
Has the ability to accept a suppressor or
threaded barrel.
Or has a folding buttstock, not a collapsible buttstock.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how Virginia defines assault weapon, and that requires a proof of citizenship before purchase.
Mm-hmm. And that proof is either a passport, a birth certificate, or a voter registration card.
But your original birth certificate, it can't be a copy. It has
Yes. Certified. Original. It has to be mm-hmm. certified, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think what's interesting is, you know, it's chambered in 5.56 or 2.23, and that round, you know, is used in hunting rifles as well. The 223 tends to be a little bit light, you know, for a hunting round. But you can find a lot of wood-stocked firearms or even a synthetic stock bolt action or non-tactical looking firearm that is chambered in the same caliber. And essentially, it's the same firearm, you know, a semi-automatic. But yet it isn't nearly as intimidating to look at it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's kind of interesting to see that different mentality when people are looking at the black gun. Oh, this is really tactical. I'm like, yeah, but the one right next to it's the same gun. It's just a different exterior
format.
Look. Yeah, different format for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you get your AR-15s and then you get your AR-10s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your AR-15s, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, are your more standard, you know, 5.56 or 2.23, mm-hmm. and then your AR-10s.
Yeah, you don't see as many
308s.
Yeah, it's chambered in 308. So it tends to be more of a long distance shooting firearm, a little bit more knockdown power, maybe a little bit more appropriate. It is definitively more appropriate for hunting, such as in deer and whatnot.
And more expensive to shoot.
For sure.
Yeah.
And there's always a blast to blow up some Tannerite.
Oh, yeah. See, we've talked about that Tannerite before. You can't go wrong. Tannerite's that binary compound that when you hit it, it explodes. I love it. It's so much fun.
Lead therapy in general, though, is just good for the soul.
Yeah. I've started going to the range a little bit more, headed out to the NRA range a little bit more frequently lately, as we're building the Your Method company, and that's it's been really really enjoyable actually. You mm-hmm. know, I didn't used to go a lot.
I needed to go more. And a lot of people think, you know, they're like, oh my gosh, how many times do you get to go to the range? And it's like, I don't get to go as often as you'd think. I need to go more.
Most of the time, we're taking clients to the range, not really going for a whole lot of extracurricular activity.
Yeah, no doubt.
Unfortunately.
No doubt. So now when we put a suppressor on an AR-15, of course, that increases the lethality of it, right? I mean, it makes it so you can't hear it, so people are going to be able to commit crimes without anybody knowing, right?
Yes, and I'm not sure I haven't heard of any recent tragedies where a suppressor, which is a NFA regulated, which is National Firearms Act,
brands. Or a lot of people think they're called silencers.
By the way, that was sarcasm that I was using there.
Oh.
Just for our listeners.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard anything in the mainstream media lately about any of these assault NFA items being used in tragedies. Now, yeah. It's either because the regulation is doing its job of keeping them out of the hands of people that shouldn't have them. But I might revert back to the recent California tragedy where the firearms that were used in that tragedy were classified as illegal in the state of California.
Yeah, magazine capacity, didn't have the bullet button.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and on NFA items, just for people who might not understand that, National Firearms Act items are regulated, and that's suppressors and fully automatic firearms. And for somebody to purchase one of those, one, it's cost prohibitive. They're expensive. You know, it's hard to find a suppressor for under $700 at a retail location. Your fully automatic weapons are just insanely priced. And so the people purchasing those tend to be a little bit more dedicated to the cause, and they tend to pay attention to where those are located. They tend to be locked up a little bit more. But the NFA transfer process is very rigorous. You know, the ATF actually does the background check for it. Even to get one to our store as a NFA dealer, it takes us between 2 and 3 months for that mm-hmm. item to reach us, and it requires individual ATF approval. And so, I mean, it's a pretty strict and rigorous process. And so what you don't see is a lot of street crime utilizing these NFA-regulated items because it is just so rigorous of a process.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I can't think of any crimes that I've come across in the media, let alone mass shootings, where a suppressor was used. You know, though we know we're talking to the local police department, the Falls Church Police Department, about outfitting them with suppressors for their firearms, so that if they had to address something in an interior attack scenario, that they wouldn't go deaf while firing their firearm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what suppressors are becoming, right? Is a big life safety issue. Where, why is it you have to go deaf to go hunting? Right? Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest want for suppressors that I've come in contact with is for hunting purposes.
Yeah, so you don't have to, like I said, you don't have to wear hearing protection. You don't have to go deaf when you fire your rifle.
Noise reduction, absolutely.
Yeah, they're making them for shotguns now, for duck hunters.
That's
you know?
Insane. That's mm-hmm. crazy.
Isn't that cool? I mean, and they look really cool, too. They're big, because a shotgun, that's a lot of energy that you got to dissipate.
I wonder how different, I mean, we went home for Christmas, and we actually took the AR-10 home and took the suppressor home and had some fun with it. But I really want to know what the difference, I mean, with your proficiency and with and without one. And how many times should we go to the range to stay proficient?
Yeah, and we'll cover that when we come back. We're going to take a quick commercial break to pay the sponsors. Okay, again, this is the Gun Dudes on Gun Dude Radio, sponsored by the Gun Dude. Check us out on nationfirst.us. We'll see you in a few, guys.
For over 100 years, the battle cry of the VFW has always been the same. America needs to do more for veterans. From combat to Capitol Hill, the VFW marches on with healthcare, jobs, benefits, and justice. VFW.org is the first stop you should make on your way home. The VFW. No one does more for veterans.
This is Jason Delgado.
And Anita Wade.
Introducing you to Reality Radio on Generation America.
We aren't controlled, manipulated, or shackled by any government or big corporation.
But hopefully soon we will be.
We support our troops and all of our armed forces around the 165 locations around the world.
Go to nationfirst.us and listen to us live on Wednesdays at 11 a.m.
Subscribe to our podcast at
nationfirst.us. Generation America. Be there.
As our nation's military fights to protect and serve values we hold dear, the American Public Human Services Association is working to encourage equality, integrity, and teamwork to drive innovative and integrated solutions in Washington within the field of health and human services. Whether it's working to produce stronger outcomes and temporary assistance for needy families and more, at APHSA, we believe in healthier lives for children and families. As a voice of state and local health and human service agencies, visit us online at www.aphsa.org.
Hi, this is Blake Alvin, co-founder of Nation First Radio. I want to thank everybody for your support in this venture of ours. We're producing positive content that we hope will improve the world around us, not just scream, you're red, you're blue at each other. At this point, we're not asking you for money or donations or anything like that. Just subscribe to the podcasts, listen to the shows when they're live, sign up for the mailing list and text alerts. We're still developing the network and the shows, and your support has been overwhelming. You can find info about the show you're listening to now and all the others at nationfirst.us. That's nationfirst.us, and seriously, thank you so much.
Welcome back to the Gun Dudes Radio Show on NationFirst.us, sponsored by the Gun Dude. For those of you just tuning in, I'm Jeremiah, president of the Gun Dude.
I'm Josh, founder and CEO.
And I'm Jenna, vice president.
All right. And when we left off, we were talking about AR-15s in particular, suppressors. And Jenna raised an interesting question before we tuned out. How many times a month should you go to the range to stay proficient with your firearm?
I think at least daily, for sure.
Yeah, that would.
Well, not
be
everybody can go daily, like myself. I can't just, hey guys, I'm going to the range. I'll be back. Hold the fort down.
No, we don't.
That would
let
be a bad
Jen
idea. I'd come back. The whole building would be burnt to the crumbles. It'd be gone. Jeez.
We don't let Jen out of the shop too often.
No, she doesn't take much vacation. But it's a really good question that you're asking, right? So, like, we've been researching this a lot with the new company, with your method, and what we found is that most people, and we know this from experience in the store, a lot of people buy a firearm with the intent to go to the range monthly to stay proficient, and the reality is they might make it yearly, if they're lucky. It's just, you know, the op tempo of life just doesn't allow for it. But there's a lot you can do at home to practice, you know, with a clear and safe firearm. You can practice drawing. You can practice different scenarios. How would you engage?
Target acquisition.
Yeah, trigger pull. You know, just getting into the mindset and the mentality, right? So that when you do go to the range, that you are practicing effectively.
Absolutely. I can agree.
I usually advise people that if they're going to be carrying their firearm, to make sure that they're going to the range at least twice a month. It's not enough just to pick up a firearm and put it on your person and say that you're safe. Odds are if you just do that, you walk into a store, you buy one, you put it in a holster and you put it on your belt and you're walking around with it. If you come up to that situation and you have to draw down, you're probably going to end up shooting yourself, if not someone you didn't intend to shoot. I mean, just think about that situation where you're, when you get pulled over by a police officer, you may or may not have known what you did. You know he's pulling you over for speeding or blowing a traffic light, right? But you are already nervous. You're wondering, even though you pretty much know you didn't, you don't do anything else illegal. Like, is there anything in the car right now? No, there isn't, because I did. But what if, you know, if...
And you're looking at like a $300 fine, and yet you can't talk.
Yeah, and not to mention a situation where you would feel like your life is in jeopardy.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine.
What's racing through your mind at that moment in time? Do you really think that your nerves are going to be stable enough to pick up that firearm and use it effectively? And the answer is a most definitely resounding no.
Yeah. I guess the first couple questions you should definitely ask yourself, you know, when you're, especially, you know, when you decide that you want to purchase, you know, a firearm, whether it be for self-defense, home defense, even personal carry, you know, am I going to be comfortable with this? Can I be proficient with this? You know, these are good questions to ask yourself, and maybe even use that to determine, you know, how often you should go to the range monthly. Whether you start off going 5, 6, 7 times a month, and then maybe after 6 or 7 months, you find out that, you know, at that time you feel pretty comfortable and proficient. That once or twice is good. Mm-hmm.
And then also what you do at the range. I mean, I don't think it's enough to sit there and put the paper out there and just, you know, stand in your isosceles and fire rounds. Oh, I hit black, I'm good. You know, with the your method thing, we're working on these different katas, these different forms that to teach people. And we've been doing one where the target, we just hit the home button on the target and we act like it's attacking us, right? It's an aggressor. And we're like, hey, stop, get on the ground, leave us alone, get away, don't do what you're doing, I'm armed, leave me alone. And then somebody behind you calls gun, and you're supposed to go to gun as that target's coming at you. And I got to tell you, it messes up my draw, it messes up my grip build, it messes up my rounds on target. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's just a piece of paper walking, coming back at you slower than you walk, and yet that perceived stress is just so much. It's really a challenge. So it's important not only to go to the range with some degree of frequency, monthly or so, or bi-monthly, or I mean twice a month, but also that when you're there, you know, that you're making a count with some formal practice, you know, pretending that that target's going to hurt you and thinking of it, get yourself in that mindset, man. It's all about mindset.
I mm-hmm. think that's good because, yeah, at the range, you're pretty stationary, but for your method, that's another way that you can, you know, practice at home that you don't necessarily have to. You're not going to stay stationary if you have that real threat coming at you.
Oh, I hope not. I mean, that's, you know, in the military, you know, movement's life, right? Mm-hmm. Combat movement is life.
So. Absolutely. So we're going to go back to and focus on the AR-15s and the definition of assault weapons and assault rifles.
Ooh, Mufasa.
I know, right? And I say, ooh. So basically the way it goes is a revolver. say one of the probably most unmenacing looking firearms in production is this is a regular 6-inch revolver. Has a handle, a trigger, and then what's called a wheel that holds 6 rounds. And if you pull the trigger, it cycles the wheel.
Cylinder, yeah.
Cylinder.
Yeah.
To the next round. So one pull of the trigger means one bullet is fired. Same thing with a shotgun. One trigger pull, one bullet. Same thing with most rifles. Now, when you look at what's called an assault rifle, what's considered an assault rifle, it does the same thing. Mm-hmm. One trigger pull, one bullet. Okay? So if you have a revolver that has a 30-round capacity, which they don't make one, if you can pull that trigger as many times as there's 30 rounds, they're going to go down the barrel at the same rate an assault rifle will.
Yeah.
As fast as you can pull the trigger. It's about operator. What it is, that assault weapon stigma is a public design.
Perception. Thing.
Perception.
Yeah.
Because the M4A1, which looks just like an AR-15, exactly.
Is
a combat full automatic rifle.
Well, which means fully automatic, or is it 3-round burst, right?
I'm not really positive. I know it's not considered semi-automatic.
Yeah, it's fully automatic.
Okay.
The M5s are 3-round burst, or your regular semi-automatic. You have the lever to switch between automatic or the 3-round burst.
It's a selector. So they're clad like people. And excuse me, because I don't mean to tell anybody that they don't know what they're talking about, but it is ignorance to that. Just since they look the same, they must be the same.
Yeah, it's a lack of understanding. You know,
it is.
It's like looking at saying all Mercedeses are the same. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's different levels of Mercedes, even though they may look the same. The package on the inside is different, mm-hmm. and you could have a 6-cylinder, you could have an 8-cylinder, whatever. Right? And the same thing goes with the assault rifles
or twins, two people.
Yeah,
that identically look the same, right
but
down
not.
To birthmarks, but they are not the same thing.
So that misperception that the civilianized AR-15 is able to shoot unlimited rounds, you know, you pull the trigger once and rounds just keep coming out the barrel is false. It's actually semi-automatic. And so one trigger pull, one round. And if you want to get one of the fully automatic rifles, they're really strictly regulated. You can't build them anymore. They're really expensive. Mm-hmm. Da 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 da. So it's really an unrealistic expectation. And you can modify that AR, but it's really difficult. And if you get caught, you're in trouble.
It's
illegal. It's federal
game
prison.
Over.
Yeah, game over. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So,
but that is basically where that assault weapon thing came from is media.
So why should you own one? I mean, obviously the civilian population doesn't need assault weapons, do they?
No, and I think that's where one of the debates is right now is why is it considered an assault weapon when it does not function anything like the one? And you guys can always weigh in on that on Twitter and tell us what you think about that. @_gun_dude. We're going to take a quick commercial break right now to pay the bills. You're listening to the Gun Dude Radio on Nation First Radio. See you in a few minutes, guys.
The VFW has always been the same. America needs to do more for veterans. From combat to Capitol Hill, the VFW marches on with healthcare, jobs, benefits, and justice. VFW.org is the first stop you should make on your way home. The VFW, no one does more for veterans.
This is Jason Delgado.
And Anita Wade.
Introducing you to Reality Radio on Generation America.
We aren't controlled, manipulated, or shackled by any government or big corporation.
But hopefully soon we will be.
We support our troops and all of our armed forces around the 165 locations around the world.
Go to nationfirst.us and listen to us live on Wednesdays at 11 a.m.
Subscribe to our podcast at
nationfirst.us. Generation America. Be there.
As our nation's military fights to protect and serve values we hold dear, the American Public Human Services Association is working to encourage equality, integrity, and teamwork to drive innovative and integrated solutions in Washington within the field of health and human services. Whether it's working to produce stronger outcomes and temporary assistance for needy families and more, at APHSA, we believe in healthier lives for children and families. As a voice of state and local health and human service agencies, visit us online at www.aphsa.org.
Hi, this is Blake Alvin, co-founder of Nation First Radio. I want to thank everybody for your support in this venture of ours. We're producing positive content that we hope will improve the world around us, not just scream, you're red, you're blue at each other. At this point, we're not asking you for money or donations or anything like that. Just subscribe to the podcasts, listen to the shows when they're live, sign up for the mailing list and text alerts. We're still developing the network and the shows, and your support has been overwhelming. You can find info about the show you're listening to now and all the others at nationfirst.us. That's nationfirst.us. And seriously, thank you so much.
And welcome back to the Gun Dudes radio show on NationFirst.us, sponsored by the Gun Dude. Check us out and listen to the show on NationFirst.us and on Twitter. Follow NationFirst at @GI_Nation. You can also keep a close eye on everything Gun Dude at @the_gun_dude. And check us out online at thegundude.com. I'm Jeremiah. Welcome back, guys. I'm here with Josh.
Sup, sup.
And the lovely Jenna.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
Ah, hola. Okay, before we take a break, we had asked, Josh asked a little bit of a common question. Should civilians own what's classified as an assault rifle or an assault weapon? And what do you think the answer is?
I believe, yeah. I mean, that's not ideal for your home defense firearm, but... I mean, I enjoy shooting them. I mean, I love
them. Welcome to the party, pal!
great for the soul, right?
It is. And the answer is yes, because it is the same firearm as any other firearm. One trigger pull, one bullet.
Okay. Yeah.
As Jenna did state, it is not the most, you know, practical to use in home defense, but you can use them for hunting. I mean, if you take...
Correct.
Let's take the Ruger Precision Rifle. Okay, it's a bolt-action rifle that looks just like an AR-15, but it's a bolt-action.
Cool.
Okay. It's classified as an assault weapon. Now, you actually have to pull the trigger, stop, work the bolt, and pull the trigger again.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
So,
thank you, producer Jason.
Right? And so, basically, what it does is it's slowing down that process. You're not going to be able to put 60 rounds down the chamber... Unless you're really, really good at working a bolt, which I'm not. I mean,
no, definitely not.
I really though. This probably sounds crazy, but I really want to try to cook bacon on the end of the barrel.
What?
I've seen it all over the internet.
The suppressors.
Just on the end of the ARs. People wrap it with bacon and tie like string around it and put some brown sugar on it and.
Oh, my God. Now you're just making me hungry.
I think Jenna's hungry.
I think Jenna's hungry. We're going to have to get her fed here soon.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think the civilian population should be allowed to own AR-15s. I don't think there's anything functionally different than any other semi-automatic rifle, be it the Ruger 10/22. And, you know, the public perception, I think, is an ill-informed perception that, you know, that really villainizes something that one is unnecessarily villainized, but two, it erodes at the conversation, right? The real conversation is why are people killing each other? Not what
Hollywood doesn't really help either when it comes to
for
you know,
sure.
Your assault rifles. They make them look scary, and all the bad guys have them on the movies.
And they're all using full automatic. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've only, in my experience, I've only seen one fully automatic
Jenna
firearm.
Jenna shot a couple of fully automatic firearms.
I got to go out with one of our instructors, Sneakers, or Chuck, and we went out to Rixieville. There's a gentleman out there that has some land, and you know, a couple of FBI agents come out and brought all their toys, and I got to shoot a Browning 1919 thumb press, belt-fed 308 machine gun. And it was one of the older ones that they used to put on top of the tanks before. Now that they like build them in it, but let me tell you what that was a blast. Like
really,
I mean hunting. What I hunt with a 30-06 now, right? So I mean it was 308, so it's a little bit larger. And I was like, oh, this is nothing, right? And no, I mean when you put the belt fed and you get to throw, oh gosh, oh my god, I can't even get over it. I can't even fathom it. It's so, so incredibly insane. You just want to, you know, blow up all kinds of tannerite. I also got to shoot, I believe it was an M5.
MP5, yeah.
It was a 9mm, and you could do fully automatic, or you could do 3-round burst. And everybody else that shot it, you know, blew through, you know, a whole, you know, 50 rounds in 6 seconds, right? But I chose not to, actually. I was more curious on accuracy. So I flipped it and kept it 3-round burst. And it's still a little hard to control because, you know, it wants to walk up the paper. But it was fun. It was interesting to see, you know, how accurate you can still be, you know, putting rounds down on a target with a 3-round burst versus, you know, blowing them all gone in 6 seconds.
That's one of the cool things about this business, about this startup, is that we get the opportunity to go do cool stuff, you know, go hang out with cool people and do cool things.
I want to go golfing with Obama.
You know, we'll go ahead and put that on the to-do list.
Jenna, make it happen. We can get a full automatic golf club.
Ooh, paint it black?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys aren't going to drive the golf carts, though, because, yeah, we'll get kicked out pretty quick.
Only if they have a 30 golf club capacity.
Yeah, yeah. Golf ball capacity.
Oh, only Lord. If we can have Hector Elizondo. You know, I know him from Princess Diaries as Joe. He was, like, the driver, and he was the, you know, the butler, and he was just, you know, if he could be our driver, I'm down for that, definitely.
All right, well.
We're going to have...
Okay. Setting the bar low. Good. So we're going to golf with President Obama while Hector drives a golf cart. Stellar. Yeah, there's no way that this isn't happening next weekend. So, but yeah, the back to the whole suppressors and AR-15 thing. I mean, I think it's public perception that really does cause some challenges there. And, you know, when Jenna was out shooting those full automatic firearms, they have to come with the owner, and the owner has to be in direct control of them at all times, so much so that if you leave them in the trunk of the car while you and your friend go in to get a drink and your friend locks it and they're the ones with the key, you've just left – you can get in trouble for that if you get caught.
Yeah, you're leaving a regulated and controlled item in the possession of somebody else.
Yep. So it's a really interesting discussion. But, yeah, I think it's kind of cool. And the people that have them tend to be really responsible because they're so expensive.
And the same thing goes with your regular firearms, your pistols, things like that. I think that goes without saying that – you should know where your firearm is 100% of the
time.
Yeah,
no kidding, right?
Yeah.
That's part of that responsible ownership.
And it's not like loaning your car to your friend. You're not going to loan your gun to your buddy just to carry around for a little while.
Dude, somebody came in, they loaned their skeet shotgun to a friend of theirs, and they'd gotten the choke from the barrel stuck in the breech of the firearm, trying to put it in the wrong end of the barrel. It took me some serious, serious doing to get that out. I mean, the gentleman jammed it in there. I'll tell you what, be careful loaning your guns to your friends.
Yeah, I mean,
it's probably not a good idea.
We can, you know, definitely make jokes about this, you know, like what idiot would do that. But the reality is it's improper training.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Definitely. I mean, obviously this person wasn't proficient with the firearm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, and a lot of that can be taken care of through the mentoring and the support.
Asking questions.
And then, you know, that's what we're doing with the Gun Dude community, right? We're giving people that mentorship, that guidance, the support to be able to help each other out and learn things. So I think that's a good thing. And just like this, discussing the AR-15s, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so many people just don't understand. And it's nice to be able to be that voice that says, "Hey, actually, take a gander at this. Check it out."
They're the same thing.
So we'll share that. We'll share that link to the AR-15 article out on our Twitter page. I think that'll be nice.
We should.
So,
a lot of people don't really understand about the NFA items. Maybe we'll touch on that again at another time. But for right now, we're going to say farewell for this episode. We want to thank you so much for listening to us.
Thanks.
Without you, we wouldn't be here.
Thanks for tuning in. We really appreciate it, guys.
We do.
I'm Jeremiah, here with Jenna and Josh at The Gun Dude, and you're listening to The Gun Dude Radio Show on nationfirst.us, sponsored by The Gun Dude. Check us out and listen to the show on nationfirst.us and on Twitter. Follow Nation First on @GI_Nation. You can also keep a close eye on everything that Gun Dude @the_gun_dude and online at thegundude.com. Thank you again, folks.
Thanks
Have
for
a
it, guys.
Fantabulous day.
Oh, yeah. Enjoy your day. All. Be well.
This has been the Gun Dude Show, brought to you by NationFirst.us, sponsored by the Gun Dude. If you love guns and coffee, this show's for you. A community of gun-toting, spaghetti-eating, defensive-minded dudes with knowledge about firearms and how to use them. The cry of the VFW has always been the same. America needs to do more for veterans. From combat to Capitol Hill, the VFW marches on with healthcare, jobs, benefits, and justice. VFW.org is the first stop you should make on your way home. The VFW. No one does more for veterans.
This is Jason Delgado.
And Anita Wade.
Introducing you to Reality Radio on Generation America.
We aren't controlled, manipulated, or shackled by any government or big corporation.
But hopefully soon we will be.
We support our troops and all of our armed forces around the 165 locations around the world.
Go to nationfirst.us and listen to us live on Wednesdays at 11 a.m.
Subscribe to our podcast at
nationfirst.us. Generation America. Be there.
As our nation's military fights to protect and serve values we hold dear, the American Public Human Services Association is working to encourage equality, integrity, and teamwork to drive innovative and integrated solutions in Washington within the field of health and human services. Whether it's working to produce stronger outcomes and temporary assistance for needy families and more, at APHSA, we believe in healthier lives for children and families. As a voice of state and local health and human service agencies, visit us online at www.aphsa.org.
Hi, this is Blake Alvin, co-founder of Nation First Radio. I want to thank everybody for your support in this venture of ours. We're producing positive content that we hope will improve the world around us, not just scream, you're red, you're blue at each other. At this point, we're not asking you for money or donations or anything like that. Just subscribe to the podcasts, listen to the shows when they're live, sign up for the mailing list and text alerts. We're still developing the network and the shows, and your support has been overwhelming. You can find info about the show you're listening to now and all the others at nationfirst.us. That's nationfirst.us. And seriously, thank you so much.